Hey, y'all. Pretend we're football for the next hour. I'm your host, Will Bazer. I'm joined alongside by Johnny Brashear and Timothy Preston. You guys are listening to the Hornscast channel, which you guys can find on any podcasting platform out there. Yeah, we're talking basketball again. It's, you know, what we do. And Texas had some trouble against the LSU Tigers this, again, in basketball. So we're going to play a game of who do I throw rotten tomatoes at, act like Crystal Conte, and tell me why I should care, and then give you a preview of TCU and Iowa State as they will be just on two of the best networks out there, ESPN Plus and Longhorn Network. Guys, how excited are you to break into new ground? Into new ground of ESPN Plus.
I'm really looking forward to canceling ESPN Plus after the game.
Look, my family, the whole family, loves the Plouse. We've been big fans of the Plouse,
the Plouse.
for literally weeks. Love the Mandalorian. Love the replays of the whole Star Wars, Clone Wars, and Rebels. I just can't get enough of the Plouse.
A TV series that was seriously underrated was the Clone Wars cartoon.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, it's the shit. So we just alienated three of our eight fans, but
nerds.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah. Says the one non-nerd, fucking nerd.
Look, I can't help it that I am the clear superstar athlete of this podcast.
Do I have a emailed or a texted photo for you folks?
No, you do not, because it's since been deleted.
Please put that video up on Twitter, Tim. Let it be like your one post of this month.
I refuse. No, thank you.
Right. Just gotta save that for a special one.
I respect you too much, Johnny. Right now, at least. We'll see what happens later. Yes, I might respect you less later.
I don't know how you could.
It'll Johnny, I'm sure that through the course of this podcast, you'll be able to get there. But let's go ahead and break down what in the world happened against LSU. Just another loss that is another damning loss. And not so much in the fact that they should have won that game, but it's a game that you needed to win at this point, and they just could not pull it out. And I just want to know, where does the fault lie in this game? Does it lie on the coaches or the players? Is it the schemes that are failing, or is it the players that are not executing the schemes correctly? Give it to me straight.
So after the game in the press conference, Shaka was asked about the run that Texas had in the second half. And his response was something to the extent of, they stopped playing for a result, and they started playing in the moment. They played fast. They played kind of stress-free, and that's when they're at their best. Now, he's right. That's factual. And then at the exact same time, we run an offensive system that doesn't want to start until like 12 to 13 seconds in. So I think
sometimes
whatever,
nine. Sometimes yeah, nine
whatever we want to say next, that stuck out for me so much, because I think that when you really break down what coaching is and what you're trying to do, like certainly there's personal progressions, there's fundamental basics that you want to work on with every player, like whether, you know, whatever position they play, and X's and O's and your systematic pieces play into that as well. But really it's putting players in a position where they can succeed. That's the heart and soul of being a coach, is how can you evaluate a player, think about where they might fit into your system, and then allow them to use their strengths to be their best. And he basically it sure seemed like those 10 or 12 minutes in the second half when we looked really good was it in direct confrontation with what we saw the rest of the game, of how we wanted to play, of what we were looking to do, and how we wanted to attack LSU. And it just seemed like that one quarter of the game was our best. So, you know, who is to blame? Look, Ramey played like dick. Febris played like dick. And Will Wade comes out, you know, in after the game and says, we shut them down. Like, I mean, yeah, like they shut themselves down one out of every three games at the very least. So no real hats off to LSU there. Coleman had a nice game shooting the ball, but didn't move the ball around very well. Ham didn't play very well. Williams looked okay when he got some shots at the rim, but like other than Coleman and Sims, I thought we were just okay. So, you know, you want to put some blame on the players too, because it's not as if they came out and really showed well. But I think when it comes down to it, I just take so much frustration out of Shaka saying we were good when we played in the moment, and that just happened to be the 10 minutes of in the moment where we played fast, we got hectic, we got our hands on balls, we, you know, started playing more passing lanes.
Tim.
I know it. I'm sorry. Penetration, balls, things like that. But
this is an old lacrosse podcaster. We would get off topic way too fast.
So I just, if he sees that, why don't we put ourselves in that situation more often? And if there's a reason, I don't get it, because he just seemed to contradict himself. So I still put the fault at Shaka, even though I thought Ramey and Febris in particular played poorly. Once again, LSU had more offensive rebounds than we had defensive rebounds, so that's suboptimal. You know, and Shaka's not the one out there rebounding. He's only 5'10", plus he's like 40, so I don't think he'd do particularly well in that situation anyway.
That would be difficult. That would be very difficult.
So, I mean, he would be at worst the
third best guard on the team at this point.
Rebounding-wise, you can't be much worse than that. Let's see.
Have you seen his calves? They're like a pair of grapefruits. Like, he'll go get some balls.
They're like grapefruits. That sounds like a condition that he should maybe get checked out.
Andrew Jones had one rebound in 23 minutes. Jace had two rebounds in 20 minutes. Courtney had two rebounds in 30 minutes. So that's 4-5 rebounds in 73 minutes. It's just not enough.
Is that bad? Is that? Yeah. I don't disagree with anything Tim has said. I think.
Nor should you.
It's fair. I think the blame does ultimately end with Shaka, because he is the head coach. And so any indictment henceforth will indirectly also be an indictment on him. But I guess what has been problematic to me this entire season has been this offensive system seems like, in theory, it is using pick and roll and dribble handoffs to try and get guards into the paint who can then either finish at the rim or kick out for a presumably open three. That seems like that is, other than the, you know, the increased post feeds they have done because Sims has been showing out, that seems to be sort of the primary goal of this offense. And that is fine if you think, or if you have the data to prove that the guards can finish at the rim well, if you have the data that shows that they can use the dribble handoff or the pick and roll to get to the paint, to get a foot or two in the paint, so they can make decisions. It also presumes that they use that pick and roll to feed a rim-running big like Jericho at the rim. And they don't seem to have done any of those well reliably this season. There are moments in which it happens, but it seems like if you do not do these things well, then the offense can never truly become what it totally needs to be effective. And given that they don't rebound well enough on missed shots, that they don't get to the free throw line well enough to generate points at the line, they are extremely dependent on something that they do not seem to do very well.
And yeah, if you go back to what Johnny was talking about, he said,
like 30 seconds ago. That's right. Why you gotta rewind. It's like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Click, click. All right, we go back to the dribble penetration idea, and you've got to the rim, kind of like a dump off or a lob, kick out for three, get to the foul line. We clearly don't get to the foul line, and we don't seem to like chase any type of contact in the paint at all, and so they don't need to play us for that, which allows them to play kind of between us and the rim without chasing contact, which means that if we're not hitting from three, we only have one option, which is a contested layup. And so like I don't think it's surprising at this point that we see how little we get to the line because our guys just – how many true layups do we see in a game? Like even – like if we miss them, we're not seeing missed layups. We're seeing missed like runners. We're seeing missed like finger rolls from 6 feet or 5 feet.
Yeah, like extremely high-level difficulties sort of layups. Like
yeah,
what Ramey does regularly.
Right, that's the stuff that we see pretty consistently, and even Matt's more likely to shoot a runner from 5 or 6 feet than he is to like get to the rim, you know. So like our two primary playmakers, they don't like two of the four things that Johnny was talking about. The defense doesn't have to worry about. Like either we take a tough shot, or I'm guessing something great just happened. I love you, or. Again, if our three-point shots aren't falling, which Ramey and Febris both were pretty cold from three, two of the guys that we rely on a lot, crappy things happen. So it's an offense that, you know, so many times we talk about this, that knife's edge, and it doesn't take a whole lot for us to be there. And look, if Andrew Jones doesn't bank in the three, if Febris doesn't bank in the three early in the first half, like, this game's not even all that close, probably.
Yeah.
But
I
don't know.
I just wish that last shot had happened like 30 seconds earlier. The one that went in.
Yeah. As much as Will is happy about something that happened in the Blues game, we're here to talk about much more depressing things.
My attention is undivided on the show at this point.
Okay. Right.
Like right now. Maybe not like a minute, but okay. Right now.
100%. Why'd you turn off your video?
Who just scored?
I don't know what you're talking about, Johnny. Hockey is for Canadians.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. I think the issue here is it bothers me to if I could sort of rearrange the last 4+ seasons, I would have taken this offense and last year's offense and flipped them. And so that last year could have just been a fucking disappointment. And this year, where the defense kind of sucked the last half of last season and the offense was a problem all season. And then we come back this season, it's like, oh, look, both are good. It would be nice to be watching a team that was good at both sides of the floor as opposed to alternating each season. And it's just the problem. It sucks because like okay I guess I can see conceptually why.
Sir, are you familiar with Texas athletics in general? There is no way that one team sport can have both good offense and good defense at the same time. It just doesn't happen.
I know, but hope springs eternal, right? So and you know me, always positive.
What about our Quidditch team, Will?
Yeah.
I raise you Quidditch.
Is always the exception at Texas because it is just the best sport that we have going on here. And, you know, I really don't understand why it doesn't get more attention than what it has right now, which is honestly, you know, there should be a major four sports in college.
Honestly,
it should be football, basketball, baseball, and Quidditch.
If Shaka comes back next season, we're changing the name to pretend we're Quidditch.
Maybe. Yeah.
It actually might be good for our SEO anyway, just to really tap into that Harry Potter market.
Man, that would be an interesting. What is this? Yeah.
they said we're supposed to talk about Quidditch. Like they said to pretend they're Quidditch. We're good. We're pretending. Wait, how long does this last? Like
Akio three-pointers.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we pretending to get to know them? Why don't we just get to know them?
Exactly. Like, maybe our listener count will go up if we talk about Quidditch. It's entirely
mind
possible.
If I slither in?
Ooh, hello.
Oh, right. Hello.
Anyway, the offense sucks.
I want to play one more game before we get into Chris Del Conte here. I think we should start playing doing this after every loss. I'm going to ask you this question. I have a rotten tomato and a cake. You can do whatever you want with the cake. You can throw it. You can give it. You can give it as a treat. You can throw it. It's up to the imagination what you do with it. But the rotten tomato is to throw at a person or place or thing. So we're lining up the Texas basketball team, coaches included. After this LSU game, who gets the rotten tomato and what do you do with the cake? Who gets the cake?
I'm going to say the cake goes to Jericho because someone needs to make him smile. He works too hard not to ever smile. The tomato, I'm going to give it to Neil Barry because he clearly has never seen a 1-3-1 zone before. So he's getting the tomato.
Jericho is the cake. Febris is the tomato for me.
Okay. So let's play another game. It is called You Are Chris Del Conte. I can imagine three more times we'll play this game in the rest of the season. This will be the first iteration of it. You are Chris Del Conte. I am Average Joe Fan. Sell me on going to a basketball game for the rest of this year.
There's beer there.
Hmm.
And it's okay. Not much more expensive than beer at Schultz. And even if it
true.
And even if it was, tickets are going to be dirt ass cheap on any fine or not so fine websites. It's safe to drink at the Irwin Center. Okay, I'm going to start again. Let's see. Does UT own...
Being Chris Del Conte is hard.
Right.
Now, the next question is, can we have black on the football uniforms?
Oh, he dislikes white things. But...
Except his wife. Hey-o! Hey-o! It's a double fist pump moment for everybody. Just
does Texas
know.
Does Texas own the Irwin Center? I think they do, right? That belongs to UT.
Yes? Pretty sure.
Okay. So... They haven't like signed a contract with the Irwin Center, right? Like they just like they're putting the games there because that's where they decide to put the games.
I feel so like I there's some him. Sort of contract.
Sure, why not?
I'm gonna go against Will's. I'm sorry, Will, but I guess my first thing would be like, you don't want to go to the game? Fuck you! We're putting the Greg. Go or don't go. But if you don't go, it's going to the Greg.
I think if it actually happened to the Greg, I think it would generate enough interest to just like, what the fuck is this?
I would agree.
I feel like. The danger with that idea is that they might not sell out the Greg, and then that's really fucking embarrassing. Iowa State comes to town. Like, if it sells out, it's because Iowa State fans came. Like, because Texas fans showed up.
There are some Iowa State fans in Texas. That's true.
It's true.
True enough.
There are a lot of fans in Austin. Okay. Johnny, got an answer for me?
Yeah. So, first, I would like Average Joe Fan to know that Chris Del Conte, the actual Chris Del Conte, is having a Texas town hall on February 4th at 6:30 p.m. So
this is true.
You can RSVP to that, and I believe it's free.
You won't have to pretend like we're Chris Del Conte. Yeah. You can just go and pretend like you're important and ask him a question.
So if you want to yell at him about football uniforms or Shaka Smart or aliens, whatever, it doesn't matter. He's got to listen to it. Which is probably more that like this. This is more town halls than most of your senators are doing. So you should probably take advantage. I think that an honest. If I lived in Austin, I might go and just like bring a really long like dot matrix printout and just start rolling through things like various and sundry things. Some of them will be Texas related. Some of them will not. Just to see how long they humor me until they kick me off.
Like your version of the Texas stuff for like Patton Oswalt going on Parks and Rec, talking about like Star Wars.
Are you gonna filibuster the town hall?
No, not filibuster. I'm just gonna pepper him with as many random ass questions as I possibly like. The idea here is not to crowd everyone else out. It is to test his patience because he's very social media savvy. I want to see him get frustrated in person and be like, "Hey, congratulations. welcome to the rest of us fans. So, like, this is what it's been like for the last 4.5 years, motherfucker. Find a donor. So, if I'm selling you on a game, here are my sales pitches.
Just, I want to, you know, I'm thinking about going to a Texas basketball game. I live in Austin.
Yep.
Sell me on going.
You could probably get tickets from the poor scalpers who have made terrible business decisions to buy season tickets for well below face value. Like, you can get a mezzanine ticket for, they might just give it to you for the right game. And then,
and if you get a mezzanine ticket, you could sit on, you know, courtside maybe.
You'll get in the lower level because they have started letting people in the mezzanine go to the lower level. I don't know when they decide to do it, but it's like during the game. They go, okay.
It's like halftime. They're like, everybody from the mezzanine come sit in the student section. Everybody in the mezzanine sits at wherever they want.
Yeah. So it's very cheap entertainment. You have the chance to see the dagger in Shaka's coaching career happen in person.
That's the one. Do you hate Shaka? Come watch him die in front of your face. That's, yeah. That's like, the crystal cut they sell.
That's evil. Like, oh, man.
I went to the... So Rick Barnes's last season, I came down and went to the Kansas State game just to be like, I want to see a game in the last season because I know this shit's over. And so maybe come and hate watch, sort of like you do to, I don't know, House Hunters International or whatever it is that you get really pissed off watching because clearly those people don't deserve a $1 million home in Amsterdam. Like, whatever you need. This will be hate watching with sports. And like Tim said, there's beer there, so there you go.
It's kind of like 90 Day Fiancé, which I don't watch. I'd like to point that out. My girlfriend has it on, and I'm like, these people are stupid. It's kind of like that.
You know, they have a whole 90 Day Fiancé, like, fucking extended universe. There's like 7 shows now. My girlfriend's into that shit, and it's just, there's 90 Day Fiancé, and then there's like one where
pretend
they're...
Pretend we're 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, there we go.
What channel is that on?
Is it TLC? TLC. I'm pretty sure it's TLC.
Hulu?
No, yeah, they might have like previous seasons on other stuff, but it's on TLC, I'm pretty sure.
It's just like an Angry Bride kind of thing.
It's like watch people's lives fall apart and you know they're making bad decisions. And they just don't do anything, I think, is the basic premise of why people watch it.
It is lonely people who meet people through the internet and they get married in like 90 days. Like it's
on purpose.
Yeah, on purpose. And some of them it goes well, most it does not for very understandable reasons because, you know, 90 days.
This is, you know, lady from Russia who is, you know, pretty attractive marrying like, I don't know.
A weird old computer nerd from Nevada. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's obvious why they're there. They're getting an American visa.
There's like there was some girl who was from, I don't know, somewhere in the South who she moved to Syria Syria because she got married to some dude over there and she started wearing burkas and stuff. And she's like maybe 18 and her family is trying to be understanding, but they clearly are like, this is a terrible decision, but I'm trying to be supportive. But like, and so she tries to get her husband over, and they're like, look, immigration laws and Trump, probably not getting back from Syria anytime soon. So, there's that, or there was the one guy who moved to like Bolivia or something, and his girlfriend was like significantly hotter than him and he was super insecure and she just could not deal with the fact that he was insecure and jealous. And so, and also like he had warrants in the US so he couldn't get a passport. Anyway, I don't watch the show, but I've heard this stuff.
Oh yeah, totally. I have no idea what's going on. But like, let me tell you about season 2. That's the best of the 7.
I want to point out Cops,
but like it's international Cops. But weddings.
Cops?
I want to point out that we had a thing about talking about Texas basketball and why you should go, and Johnny did not mention DJ Mel. I can't believe it.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Because you don't have to sell DJ Mel. DJ Mel sells himself.
Whatever. Nice try. Trying to cover up.
He's an Austin Music Hall of Famer. And plus, I probably have already sold him to I don't know how many people at this
Somebody point. Forgot about DJ Mel.
That's true.
And
it's
instead
fair. Gonna,
remembered
yeah,
season the entirety of season 3 of 90 Day Fiancé.
Look, I'm going to tell you, I will talk to Mel and bring him up to speed on 90 Day Fiancé. And we'll just close the loop entirely.
Can we get a 90 Day Fiancé remix at the Irwin Center?
Yeah, I'm pretty
okay.
sure.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Hang on, I'm gonna,
I don't know what the yeah, show's yeah. theme song is, but damn, do I want it now in a remix at Irwin Center? I won't realize what's happening until my girlfriend's like, "Oh, it's 90 Day Fiancé." And it sounds kind of like
it. Isn't the woman from that cat meme, the cat at dinner meme? She's from 90 Day Fiancé.
Is she? I thought that was Bachelorette or
is
whatever.
It? I don't know. It's one of those shows. I start to lose track.
I just assume it's the Housewives of something.
No, I think I'm pretty sure it was one of the girls from 90 Day Fiancé, like this American girl who was dating a British dude who
was time to kill in the show. I'm gonna figure out who it is.
Yeah, some American girl who was like she was legitimately attractive and she was dating some sort of frumpy British dude who wasn't that into her and she cried a lot. Again, I don't watch the show, but that's what I've heard.
It is from Beverly Hills Housewives.
Is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Score one for the Timster!
Tim, dude, you're hip with the youngsters.
Oh, my God.
You're hip with the youngsters.
Look, I watch a lot of How It's Made on the Science Channel.
Oh, my
I
God.
I love it.
That is the perfect hangover show. Like, you just watch it for... like
Everybody knows what our pre-show talks are like.
Incredible.
It kind of just devolves from... topic to topic until we're like, oh yeah, we have a show we should probably record.
Tim's
right, yeah, totally.
Drink six. Oh no. Oh,
between How It's Made and Ariel America, if I'm hungover, I will be on the couch for 6 hours watching those shows.
How It's Made's incredible.
Falling asleep and waking back up and being like, oh, Montana, all right, okay.
Yeah, they made women's belts the other day on How It's Made.
Ball mesmerizing bearings. Amazing. Had no idea. You know they make a lot of those, right?
So here's the selling point for going to the game. If you do go to a game, it will be quiet enough that you can have conversations like this with your family. So go ahead and trap your family that you've been trying to get, you know, more family time with. And they'll, you know, the seats have been paid for.
Are you a teenager who wants to tell your parents you're gay? Go to the Irwin Center.
Guilted into... What was that?
If you're a teenager who wants to tell your parents you're gay, go to the Irwin Center.
Yes.
What a
go
time
to the Irwin Center,
life.
Man. You're trapping
like
them.
A
you
public
pay
library,
for their
but
seats.
Safer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, there's a lot of eyes on you.
Well, not that many eyes. There's
and,
some eyes.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There's some eyes. And there's the possibility that you will catch a T-shirt, which I did in the last game.
Hey, nice. Want to propose to your girlfriend and are nervous she's going to say no? Go to the Irwin Center.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then you can propose in semi-public.
Right.
Yeah.
But
exactly. There's not going to be any TV showing the rejection.
Use peer pressure, but not enough peer pressure that if something messes up, you're embarrassed.
Want to talk to one of the pretend we're football guys? Go to the Irwin Center.
Yeah, literally just one, because Will is the only one who shows up.
Section 35. You'll see me... and my father.
He will give you our cell phone numbers. You can contact us directly.
Yes, exactly. If you guys find me, I will give you Johnny and Tim's cell phone numbers. Well, maybe Tim's, because Tim is offering. So,
I mean, you can text me. I'm never going to let you know that it actually came through.
All right. So let's go ahead and get to some actual talk. And
you're welcome let's for those. Talk- 20 extra tickets sold, Cristo Conti.
Yeah. Yeah, we are hell of salesmen. Hell of some salesmen. But let's get into some TCU talk here, because Texas is traveling to TCU today.
And now for 40 minutes of Johnny.
This is the harder of the two games to win between the next time we record and now. TCU and versus Iowa State, at TCU versus Iowa State. If they do win this game, does it move the needle at all?
Let me rephrase the question a little bit, because I don't think it's going to move the needle, but I think if we are talking about the path to Texas somehow making the NCAA tournament, it flips a game that they were theoretically supposed to lose. So if they're going to be 7-11 on the season, this becomes a possible 8-10 season. So, or that they're in conference season. So then they get a little closer to that 9 or 10 games they need to win a conference play to actually make the tournament. So from that standpoint, I guess it's, you know, it moves the needle a little. I don't think it's going to convince anybody that this team is legit or whatever, but it's, you know, it's sort of like a single ping on the sonar, maybe. I think so. The thing with TCU is that while they are I will call them a marginally better team than Texas, there's not a huge gap. In fact,
it's like a 10 rankings on the KenPom scale. Like,
yeah, give or take.
TCU is 61. Iowa State is 63, Texas is 73.
Yeah. So there's not a ton of space between them. Plus, TCU is bad in a lot of ways that Texas is bad. Like, they turn over the ball on offense a lot. They don't get to the free throw line much. They shoot a lot of threes, relative to the amount of shots they take. So there's certain sort of thematics. They also don't play a fast game. It's sort of interesting in that this is the, you know, Jamie Dixon is known primarily for offensive teams, but this year it's sort of been their defense that has helped keep them afloat. And their strengths are basically Desmond Bane, who, it looks like he could bench press a car at any given moment, despite the fact that he's a guard.
Is it because he's angry or he just looks jacked?
Well, yeah, mostly jacked. But, you know, he does have a good mean mug. So he can do a little of both. But he is pretty clearly their best player. He's hitting 44% from three. He can get to the rim really well. He's pretty good at assists. The other guy that on their team that is going to be a potential problem is Kevin Samuel, who is a 6'11", big, who is like, they're not as good as West Virginia or LSU at offensive rebounding, but they are a good team. And a lot of that has to do with Kevin Samuel and to a lesser extent, Jaden Ledé. And so, for that reason, I feel like Texas defensively can do a pretty good job of keeping Desmond Bane in check, in theory, especially given that they run people off the three-point line really well. And Desmond Bane is a guy who can damage you from the three-point line. Also, I think the Sims-Samuel matchup is an interesting one that I think Texas can win. So, while Texas is the underdog here, I feel like they have a better chance than the metrics might indicate.
Yeah, if there's a puncher's chance, this is a game that I think is there for us. So many of our games have been a question of how well do our 3 through 7 guys play? You know, you have that group of Jones, Ramey, Fabris. I mean, it's been Hepa for a while, but you know, we'll see, because Hepa's not going to be for this game. I don't think Liddell will be for this game either. But this may well turn into a who's top two guys play better. Do Coleman and Sims play better, or do Bane and Samuels play better? So, I mean, from that standpoint, it's nice to give ourselves a shot because our best two guys have been pretty good the last few games, so that's nice. But, yeah, we'll see. I don't want to say it will only revolve around that, but that's a possibility at least.
I mean, if they do win this game, does it move the needle for you at all?
No.
What would move the needle? let me ask you that. Let's kind of start there. What moves the needle for y'all this season?
Well, for Tim, it's the bigger than you thought subreddit.
I don't know for sure what that. I'm guessing it's awful. you know, we talked last podcast, and Johnny talked about like what could happen and what are the potential options, and then
Boy, did I talk a lot last time.
Well, no, I feel bad because I remember, like, I was going on my run last week and I listened to the podcast again just so, you know, I could hear it over. And I was kind of dismissive and I feel bad about that. So, Johnny, I apologize.
No, I rambled like shit last week. I was drunk, so that, it's fine.
But that wasn't it.
I deserve to be dismissed a lot in last week.
That wasn't the problem. It was like I said, it's not worth talking about. Like, why even go into best case scenario? Because it's not worth talking about. And you know, Will, at this point, I guess like what would move the needle? I'm not sure. Like, I guess I know what would. Like, let's win the Big 12 tournament. Or let's run off five games in a row. Like, when was the last time that we ran off five games in a row in the Big 12? Like, I know in the NIT last year.
Okay. I was like,
yeah.
Earlier this season?
Yeah.
But against pretty crappy teams?
Right, exactly. Like, let's beat five quality teams in a row. Maybe that happened in the first season under Shaka, but I just...
That is a good question. When was the last time Texas won five Big 12 games in a row?
It's been a long time. So you want to go ahead and move the needle for both Tim and I would be. Yeah, sorry, I'll shut up.
No. While you talk, I'm going to figure this out. By the time you're done talking, I will have figured it out.
Tim has made me so embarrassed to talk. I'm just going to keep this brief.
Oh no, Johnny! You're so
embarrassed. I'm sorry, Tim.
I can't imagine Tim.
I was just
apologizing forever.
Good grief! I was. Yeah, no. I'm saying I'm the dick.
Look, I know how this works. I know how this works. You're apologizing, but dominating me in your apology. I understand.
Is he negging you? Is he negging you at this point?
Yeah, no, it's just constant. The emotional abuse is incredible. It's like he seems so nice, but like inside every compliment is just covered with, it's like poison covered knives just inside it. Like, hey, you look much better than you did last week. Like, oh, what did I look like last week? What was wrong with last week?
It's like, your boyfriend's got big muscles.
Yeah, who's in my house?
Research update. The biggest streak so far in the Big 12 is 3.
Yeah.
And I'm in 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would probably move the needle for Tim and or I is, one, winning in Kansas, because that seems like a fucking gargantuan feat. there's a three-game stretch that is at Kansas, home against Tech, home against Baylor. And if they pulled out two out of those three, or three out of those three, that would move the needle. Like, beating Tech at home seems somewhat reasonable, given sort of where Tech is and the fact they'll be at home. But, like, anything beyond that, I'm not saying it would move the needle in terms of sort of the overall calculus with Shaka, but I'm talking in terms of whether you think this team might actually make it to the NCAA tournament kind of move the needle, like a little smaller scale. There's multiple needles at play. There's the tiny needle of the season. There's the larger needle of Shaka. And only one of those is getting moved the rest of the season, potentially.
Okay, I found the season. The last time Texas won five in a row in Big 12 play was 2013 and 2014, where they won seven in a row versus Tech, West Virginia, number 8, Iowa State, number 22, Kansas State, at Baylor, number 24, versus Kansas, and then at TCU.
That's
clearly Shaka's best coaching job to date.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's Taylor's freshman
that
year.
That was Ridley, Javon Felix,
yeah.
Isaiah Taylor, yeah. Jonathan Holmes, Prince Ebay, Connor Lambert. That team.
Yeah. Yep. That's the year that they lost in the. They beat Arizona State and then lost to Michigan by a lot.
Yep.
Mm hmm.
Exactly. To what I have been told is future Texas coach John Boeheim. Based off of what random things I see on the internet from people tweeting, mostly Justin Wells. It's mostly Justin Wells.
I love Justin. I love you, Justin. I love you.
All right. So I love Iowa State 60% as much as he loves East Texas.
No, you don't.
Wow, that's a lot.
No, you don't.
Like 12%.
45%?
No,
I don't know.
God, no. 6%.
Third base?
But I do like Justin. He's nice. So
12%. Texas versus Iowa State, before we get too far down the rabbit hole for Johnny. If they lose against Iowa State at home, Iowa State right now, who is 9-10, even though they are ranked higher in KenPom than Texas, if they lose this game at home, is that a mid-season firing offense?
No. I mean, I don't look, I don't see a realistic scenario in which Shaka gets fired mid-season. It's partly because of the salary, right? It's all guaranteed, so it doesn't really matter. Partly because it's not like whoever they would bring in to replace him on an interim basis would magically fix things in the last, say, 6 weeks or so of the season. Like, I mean, I think it's... If they lose that game, they're probably not even making the NIT at that point. But more to the point, it's just... I feel like they're going to play out the string regardless. So, no. I don't think a loss there would doom Shaka any more than he is potentially already doomed.
In the day and age of the portal, it's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, that was a quick question. So, just tell me, what is Iowa State like?
Iowa State is good offensively, mostly through Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, he can play. Dude's good.
Yeah, he is legitimately good. Rasir Bolton is a solid second guy, but not able to carry the team. It still surprises me that, I mean, I know some of this is just sort of the legacy of Hoiberg, right? But like, it still surprises me to see a team from Iowa State that is this bad at shooting the three. They are significantly worse than Texas at it. And they give up a lot of threes. Mm-hmm. Like it may have come a couple years later than Tim would have liked, but I feel like Tim is really enjoying the fact that he was not a huge Steve Prohm fan when he was hired, and he's quietly resting on his couch made of money he bet on Tim Steve Prohm being a failure.
I have a lot of Iowa State fans, and it's interesting to see like them kind of turn slowly on Prohm. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him. I'm not. I don't think he demands excellence. I don't think that he's a guy that's going to like put together a team that like can play on both ends of the floor. I think he struggles with athletic players who are kind of have attitudes, you know, and that's fine. Then don't recruit him, you know. So there's a number of guys that have left Iowa State pretty early that could have really helped them. And I think that's on Prohm, honestly. So it's not a huge shock to me that they're not great. Could they beat us? They sure could. Halliburton's really good. They can get hot from three. They're not incapable offensively. But when we've really been hurt this year, it's been on the offensive glass. I don't think Iowa State will really pose that big of a threat from that standpoint.
They're slightly above average. Or they're somewhat above average, but they're not like, you know, they're nowhere near West Virginia or anybody like that.
Right, and I don't think that they're going to shut us down from three like some teams have. So, I mean, we'll see, obviously. But, I mean, this is not a team that I would feel nervous like, oh, are we going to get anything from Fabris? Will we get anything from Andrew Jones? Like, I think against Iowa State we will. So,
And now saying that.
At home, it'll happen at home. Like, it'll happen at home. We'll beat them at home.
Oh, don't. Look, okay. Look, we have well established that there is a curse stemming from any time we talk about Texas taking care of a team at home, like there or the at Oklahoma State game from what was it last year where they went 2 of 23 from three. Like we have a record of any time we dismiss a team that they come and beat the crap out of Texas for some reason. So
anytime you do,
Iowa State's winning.
When I do, it's we're gold.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's not true.
Again, $50 to the person who. I feel like we change this $50 every week. $50 is the person who goes through and tallies all the times we say, yeah, Texas should beat this team, and then the Texas lost.
There's going to be some broke Texas student who is going to go through and be like, hey, I've scraped everything. Here's my Python script that shows you every prediction you've made. Where's my $450 you have now promised over the course of this season?
Is my Python script also scraped?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's they better win that game if they have any designs on the NIT or the NCAA tournament. Because, like, they can't give away home games like that. It's one thing to lose that game at Iowa State. While I still think they are not nearly what they should be, Right. It's one thing to lose it on the road, but Texas has to win as many home games as possible. On a related note, since we were talking about Prohm a little bit, I find it interesting how many coaches in the Big 12 are on the hot seat or very near it. Like, yeah. In the next, say, 18 months or so, it's entirely possible that 40% of the Big 12 changes coaches. Like, Shaka is, you know, in the position he's in. Steve Prohm, the Iowa State fans are sort of are souring on him.
They're circling, yep.
Yeah.
Weber.
Well, Mike Boynton was the next one I was going to talk about. Oh, like, yeah. There is a non-zero chance Oklahoma State goes 0-for in the Big 12 this year. Like, if they lose that game against TCU next Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, it starts to become a possibility because they don't have that many winnable games left. Bruce Weber is Schrodinger's firing. Like, he's he doesn't understand. Like, he exists in two states at once, and I feel like he doesn't feel comfortable unless his seat is warm. Like, it's how he keeps himself warm in his increasing age. He performs just badly enough that they want to get rid of him. Then he has an elite run, eight run. They're like, okay, contract extension. Like, I feel like he's going to be there for 28 more years, just constantly riding that line. Who else?
Just when you think he's gone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just when you think
he's gone. I mean, Dixon's at least got to be on the hot seat a little bit.
I mean, the Kansas State fans don't really love him, right? Like, they almost wanted to kick him out a couple different times, especially when Brad Underwood was in the league, in the conference. They really wanted Underwood to take over for him. And then...
Wait, you mean TCU?
No. I'm still talking about Bruce Weber.
Oh, sorry. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, Dixon is another one where, I mean, he played footsie with UCLA last year, so he's clearly looking around. And maybe he takes another job. I don't think TCU kicks him out, really, because their standard of success is pretty low. They still kind of understand that just being in the conversation for the NCAA tournament is a step up from where they were historically. So he might leave, but I don't know if he'll be fired. But that's like, what, five different coaches? And then, you know, say Roy or Coach K or somebody retires, then they might take a run at Chris Beard and he's gone. And, you know, so that's, who knows? I mean, the only constant is probably going to be Scott Drew, who's going to be at Baylor for 30 years. Because no big school wants to hire him away, and he keeps winning, so where's he going to go? Like, he's not going to the NBA, so he's just going to be there doing his 1-3-1 zone until sometime in the 22nd century.
What, 6'4 power forwards don't work in the NBA? What? No? Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be really interesting over the next year and a half or so to watch how much, I mean, because they haven't changed coaches anywhere in the last 3 years, right? Like, Boynton's the newest coach, and this is his third season, I think.
Yeah, that'd be right. Yep.
Yeah, so they've had some real stability the last couple of years, and, you know, I mean, Kruger's getting a little older. He might want to go pick a new, I mean, he seems to, like, kind of want to go around and build teams into the NCAA tournament contenders, so maybe he finds some other spot. Like,
yeah, Seattle's nice.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, maybe he goes and takes the new Supersonics job. so yeah, it's anyway. That's a non sequitur. But I'm really interested to see how many of these coaches are around 2 years from now.
I think that's enough basketball talk for one podcast. We've just been talking nonstop basketball for, what is it, 15 minutes at this point?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get off some basketball. Give these people a break.
All right, Planet Earth pretend time. You're getting to there know we go.
Us. Right, exactly. Sorry. Pretend you're getting to know us. So, this week's Pretend You're Getting to Know Us is, what is something that is perfectly legal that feels illegal? Who wants to start here? Tim, you've been chosen.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. But I will say, every probably 2 or 3 weeks, I get really drunk. Like, I mean, drunk, yes, but really drunk. And then watch Rudy. And I don't watch the whole movie. I just kind of fast forward through parts. So I have Dish Network so I can, like, hit the old 30 seconds.
This is one of those Tim stories where I have to figure out where it's going. No. And there's going to be one point where I figure out, oh, okay, that's where it connects.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I can fast forward and, like...
No, Tim, please.
Well, there's
I enjoy this.
Right. So there's the part where you know, where his last practice for his high school team, and then there's when he gets his acceptance letter from Notre Dame. There's the entire Jerry Goldsmith time frame where like you know, he's at practice and that's really good. And then the second Jerry Goldsmith, that's really good too. And then finally, like the whole last season, where is he going to get to play or is he not going to get to play? And as I continue to drink, as I watch that, I can cry for like 15 or 20 minutes straight while also being incredibly happy. And then get done and then watch How It's Made for an hour. And I just can't imagine a better living than that hour and 26 minutes. So that probably should be illegal, but it, somehow it's not. Probably because no one knows that I do it until it now. Now there people know I do it. So
and,
there
it is. And also it happens inside his grow house. So there's that.
My what?
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Hmm.
Oh, boy.
So I got lost, but Johnny, you want to chime in here?
Sure.
Ooh, that means that Will's got a banger. Let's go. Yeah, got a banger.
Yeah, we got.
I'll finish this one off.
Will's gonna be the cleanup hitter. My thing.
Finish me up, buddy. Sup my ass, buddy.
And this may be yet another sign that I'm getting older. Is something that feels illegal but is actually not. Is adult movie stores.
Walking into an adult store, I feel that.
Yeah, like,
it's like, oh, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, well, like, because they're a lot of times they're in seedy parts of town or parts that were seedy but they predated it, so it's like it's the seedy thing left in the upscale part of town. And then there's Tim.
How often do you guys do this?
Not much anymore. This is more of a pre-internet or pre-streaming.
Tim, you don't do this. This isn't your weekend activity. I mean, Johnny and I do this all the time. In fact, we go together.
That's true. We compare dildos. It's
no,
awesome.
You don't. No. Okay, nice try. I'm not falling for that shit again, Will.
There's FaceTime.
No, you should have seen the one Johnny got last week. It was great.
It vibrates at a remarkable rate. It really is. Like, it takes... like. In this day and age, usually they take like AA or AAA. This thing takes D's.
I don't buy it.
It's a whole, like, it's, you might as well put a generator on it.
The double entendre.
Yeah.
The double entendre. Yeah. All right. So Johnny.
Yeah, my thing is.
He's not done yet.
No, I'm not. No. I know that was a good off ramp, but we're just going to keep driving down this highway until we crash. You go into.
I gave you so many outs, all the outs.
Yeah, no, I don't take any of them. We know this by now. I just keep rolling. You go into this place and you park and nobody wants to make eye contact even outside of the place. And then you go into the place.
Tim is done.
Yeah, Tim doesn't want to hear this. Tim is uncomfortable. Out. Yeah,
he just took the headphones off and just out.
This is half the fun, is making him uncomfortable in these things. So
exactly. Yeah. That's why we're talking about this.
Yeah. So how about this? How about we just talk about, like, I don't know, math for the next 30 seconds or so, and then he comes back and he puts on the headset. That's when I start talking about porn again. Does that sound good?
Okay.
What about video games? How about a video game? We could talk about
video games. I like video. Okay, video games sounds like something that'd be more. We could go into integral calculus, but I'd have to go out and get my textbook from college, and boy, that thing has some dust on it.
Yeah, I don't,
because I've never opened it.
Yeah, no, there's no way. I feel like maybe if we spend a little bit of time talking about the PlayStation or like maybe the new Xbox.
I'm into Breath of the Wild now. Yeah. So. I just got that. My girlfriend gave me a Switch, so I mean, Breath of the Wild is the first thing I've been wasting my life on. It's pretty awesome.
How's the battery life on that thing?
You know, it's honestly impressive. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be that good, but what I was watching that one video, it was just, man, it was raunchy.
There was so much. There's so much. Anal. It was just so much.
Breath of the Wild was awesome, and I've enjoyed playing. That game, it's just
I'm back in, baby.
And that's why I gave the hand job in the store.
Yes. So it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was a sight to behold.
Okay. So yeah, porn stores feel they should be illegal, but they're perfectly legal. And they are perfectly normal for everyone to go to, regardless of what you are or are not wearing.
Yes, yes, yes. Mine is an interesting one, and it's one that I kind of happened upon today, which is why we have this question. There is a company out there called The Boring Company. And what does this company do?
Boeing? It's a plane.
Boring.
Oh.
Boring. Like,
make planes.
Like yawn, boring. Like, this is like this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So what they do is they create underground tunnel systems for traffic, for cars.
Yep.
And that's what they want to do. So that's kind of what the main general purpose of this company is. However, they have a side project in that company. The Boring Company, not a flamethrower. It is a very expensive lighter, or no, an inexpensive lighter that they don't sell. It's the fire extinguisher is the main object that they're selling. They sell it for an exorbitant amount of money.
Mm.
And it comes with this object, which they call not a flamethrower. They have sold over 20,000 of them. And this is perfectly legal in the United States.
Yes, Second Amendment applies to flamethrowers, I guess.
I'm not trying to make a political statement here. Just the fact that you can buy you can't buy the flamethrower, but that you can buy a fire extinguisher that comes, you know, on the side, they give you a flamethrower, is, man, that's amazing.
It sounds like the brainchild of a PayPal billionaire who is doing a lot of hallucinogenics between the instances in which he calls lifesavers pedophiles.
This is San Francisco just turned up, you know, like the tech scene, or
it's
the startup scene,
man,
in San Francisco.
Yeah.
This is the startup scene in San Francisco with all of their micro dosing and whatnot turned up to like 13,
macro
14, 15 out of 10. Yeah.
Yeah. It went from micro to macro dosing. Yeah. They're like,
yeah, it went from micro to macro pretty damn fast here.
Yeah. That's a weird one.
Yeah. So that is what I think doesn't sound like it's legal, but it is 100% perfectly legal. I Googled that, and Google doesn't lie. So
it's true.
On that note, y'all, we're going to end off there. Thank y'all for pretending we were football for the past hour. That was probably one of the most basketball-heavy podcasts we've had in quite a while, so thank y'all for sticking through that. I've been your host, Will Baizer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. And Johnny Brashear, where can we find you?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Bitter White Guy. I'm also on the Pretend We're Football podcast, which you can find on Google
the classic
Play
joke.
And Stitcher and Podbean and Spotify and Google Play and Stitcher and Spotify. And Barking. I'm on Barking Carnival as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. The basketball pod, the basketball blog.
Yes, yes. Noted Texas basketball blog, Barking Carnival.
And Johnny, do you want to do a Where in the World is Timothy Preston this week?
Do I?
In his basement, drinking Jim Beam and Coke. Glad that he doesn't go to school tomorrow.
Getting ready to find an Uber to his latest porn store.
False.
There's only one in Iowa, so it's going to be a long Uber. But, you know, he wants the good stuff. He pays top dollar. He really just, he has a very specific thing he likes. I'm not going to judge him for it. It's weird, but I'm not going to judge him for it. And he only can find it at one store. So
I like how you said, I'm not going to judge him for it, but then you judged him for it.
Yeah. No, that's true. I'm working on his compliments filled with knives thing. I just can't quite wrap it in the statement of like, hey, you look thinner.
Ish.
Yeah. Ish. Yeah, I mean, you know, you got work to do, but better. Yeah. So that's, yeah. Tim's at porn.
And Tim?
There.
Tim, besides that one store in the middle of Iowa, which is sort of, you know, they say all roads lead to Rome. Well,
all Iowa roads lead to that porn store. Yeah.
It's called Target. Okay. It's called Target. Thanks so much.
Where can we find you, Tim?
InsideTexas.com and on Twitter, InsideTexasHoop, no S. Awesome community. Come hang out. Just a ton of fun talking UT hoops. Incredibly fun. What a time to be alive.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. But, y'all, thank you for hanging out with us. You guys can find this show and other shows, you know, that talk about Texas sports, not quite like this one, but other ones, on the Horsecast channel, which you guys can find on Pod. No, well, Johnny already went over it. On that note, thank y'all for listening. We'll see y'all next week. Hook 'em.
Hook them.
Hook them horns.
Hook all of them.